the home team.
And here we go.
All right, so rolling into hour number two. This is the home team. It's presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff with you for the full 3 hours today. We'll be here till 7. Monday Night Football tonight. You got the Patriots at the Bills. Boy, that should be a good one.
Maybe it'll snow or something.
I was like, when was the, I don't. It seems it's probably been a while since the Bills have hosted a Monday night game. So at least like that probably will be a pretty, you know, like wild atmosphere.
You would think.
I don't think it's going to matter, but New England's favored by 2 touchdowns. Maybe that'll be good enough to get, I don't know, Buffalo in the back door or something late in the game. For
who's
cover.
Starting at quarterback for the Bills?
Derek Anderson.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Like the guy who went to Oregon State
that
way
guy.
Back when?
Yeah. Who's, I mean, you got to, that's better than Peterman.
I think, didn't he have like a Pro Bowl year 1 year?
I think
Derek
so, yeah.
Anderson?
He's been with the Browns. And
yeah. Yeah, it was a good backup.
The chance he's even, you know, been with the Dolphins. They've had so many quarterbacks.
Man.
But yeah, no, that Derek Anderson starting tonight for the Bills. So
this is probably not the first time Derek Anderson and Tom Brady have squared off.
Probably not. Although next week, the Sunday night game is the Packers at the Patriots, and that will only be the second time Rodgers and Brady
Crazy.
Have, because they met one time, I think it was like in 2010, and Rodgers was hurt. So, in those guys' long, esteemed careers, that'll only be the second all-time meeting between the two of them.
You know who we blame for that? Mike McCarthy, because Green Bay should have been in at least 2 or 3 more Super Bowls with that guy.
Yeah. And then there was a moment yesterday, like Rodgers was trying to get a play, you know, to run a play, and the Packers just had guys running on and off the field. It looked like a Grantham defense. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad. The like one of the TV stations, I guess it was in Milwaukee, like they were showing post-game interview with Rodgers, and it had Aaron Rodgers, Packers head coach. And
well, they'd be better.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, he wishes he was the head coach instead of the guy they do have.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley upset a lot of people yesterday, not scoring a touchdown late in the game, though. Instead, allowing himself to be tackled short of the goal line, which was
the smart
thing to do. But the Rams not only did not cover because of that, but then if you had Todd Gurley on your fantasy team, you were hoping for another touchdown there, and he didn't oblige.
And that also kept the game under, because I believe the over-under was 57.5.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So either Gurley was smart or Gurley might check
smart.
check his pockets for a ticket.
But and
see what's in there.
I'm just telling you.
He might have had a Packers ticket and a Packers and an under parlay.
With all due respect to those two quarterbacks you just mentioned, with what Patrick Mahomes is doing, the best player in football is Todd Gurley. He is the best player in football. The guy's unbelievable.
He's very good, but I wouldn't take him over Rodgers or Mahomes or a really good quarterback. Because if you don't have a good quarterback, you have no shot.
I hear you. And I mean, that's
the Rams got good when Goff got good. They had Gurley and they were winning
three
games.
No, I hear you. I mean, but that's regardless of what position they play. I mean, I'm not saying he's the most valuable. I think he's the best player in the game.
No, that's a bold statement, Cotton.
I mean, you could have a guy hit 55 home runs for a lousy team. You know, it doesn't mean he's... You know,
Andre the Dawson won the MVP.
Yeah, he did.
Andre the Dawson.
Andre
I like
the
I just
Dawson.
Called him Andre the Dawson.
Andre
the Dawson.
With Andre the
yeah.
Giant.
Andre the Dawson won the MVP
yeah,
for
there
last
you go.
Place.
It can
team.
Happen.
Yeah.
But Gurley's if I had the first pick, I'd have to take either Rodgers or Brady or the young gunslinger.
Or now Mahomes.
Mahomes.
All right, let's dive into today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, Georgia beats Florida Saturday. How did they do that?
Well, Georgia, I think here are the big keys, Christopher. Georgia won the turnover battle. Georgia won the kicking game. Georgia won the run game. Georgia was tremendous on third down. Jake Fromm had a great game. And big picture, whenever Florida had its push, whenever Florida had the momentum, and remember we were talking so much last week about managing the emotions of this game, Georgia was able to answer. And no bigger moment to me was when Florida took the lead 14-13 and Georgia marches right down the field and scores to take the lead back at 20-14. The Dogs go 7 plays, 72 yards, 2 minutes, 55 seconds.
Georgia won third in Grantham, too, Saturday.
Big time.
I mean, they were 6-for-8, and Florida's two losses now. I believe Kentucky was like 9-for-13 on third down, and Georgia went 6-for-8 in the second half.
That's exactly right.
So, we warned you, Florida fans. Third and Grantham does not mean what you think it means.
When Swift scored, Chris, and Georgia was up 36-17, and you knew at that point the game was at hand, I think every Georgia fan took delight when the television cameras panned to the Florida sideline and Grantham was just going nuts on his defenders.
Yeah, he was dressing them down. Now, that Swift touchdown run was
so sweet.
That was the run that has me holding a Swift for Heisman ticket, which is pretty much useless now, but maybe next year he won't be hobbled by a groin injury. And
well, he's back.
Yeah, he is back now.
I mean, because he, as we like to say, he flat out exploded through that cut. And that was, he had a pretty nifty run earlier. It might have been in the first half when he went down the right sideline.
Yeah, the same.
He got about 20 yards or so.
Yeah.
So, ooh, yeah, he's back. And I'm telling you, that's a good, you know, that's a good thunder and lightning thing. Because, I mean, I'm just telling you, Holyfield, he got some tough yards. And he delivers a pounding. I mean, I wouldn't want to come up and try and tackle that guy.
No, he'll wear a defense down. And it was good to see the champ, too,
awesome.
Celebrity picker, and he picked Georgia to win.
So
and Lee
awesome.
Corso put that stupid Gator hat on.
That made me feel better.
But, is Evander Holyfield, is he the first parent who's ever been the celebrity guest picker on game day?
He's got to be.
Has Archie Manning ever done it? Archie's maybe done it.
But not while Peyton or Eli were playing.
But no, because the one time they were in Oxford, Katy Perry was the celebrity guest picker.
Right.
So I don't think Archie even did it.
No.
Yeah, but like an active.
Yeah, I think the champ's the first.
The champ, yeah, he's the first parent. All our other parents are going to be like, hey, why can't we pick?
Look at me.
Yeah, there's a guy who, well, it was Lennox Lewis's children
that
Mike Tyson wanted to eat, but,
yeah, but
it makes for a better story if we pretend it was Evander's kids.
As we always tell you, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Right. So, good day, and the Dogs win 36-17. Key plays in the game other than all the third downs. Well, that was pretty much it.
No,
his third and Grantham was a huge deal in that game.
I'm with you. I think the third and 11 to Holloman was enormous. And I'm going to give you another one. You know, frankly, it was 20-14. The offensive interference they called on Nauta. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it was a bad call. It could have gone either way. You know, you see that a lot. But he did hit him. I think if the guy hadn't gone down, I don't think they would have flagged it.
Yeah, the pass interference on Tyson Campbell
was
enormous, too.
It's a great play. That's an easy touchdown. Jones dropped it right in there. But then if you want to go with a non-TD, definitely Mecole Hardman downing the punt on the one-yard line. Then they fumble. And I know Georgia got stoned there. But the Dogs did get three and made it a two-score game at that point.
I thought the ensuing Florida possession was big, too, because Georgia held them to a field goal
Correct.
There. When it did, even though the Dogs got the field goal and went up 9 points, but at that point in the game, it felt like there was a there wasn't a good feeling about stoned there with, you know, with 6 or 7 plays we ran and couldn't even get a yard.
Well, I think the thing is, it's like you said, in years past, something like that would happen, or we'd take a sack or turn it over or something, and then we'd miss the field goal. You know, at the very least, you know, everybody was frustrated and disappointed. Dogs didn't get it in. Okay.
Well, you think about what happened in South Carolina in 2014.
No doubt. Then you missed the kick.
Yeah.
We made the kick and went up by 9. And then you're right. That was a good interference by Tyson Campbell.
That was on that next drive, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Held them to 3 and then kind of got the TD.
Because if they had scored the touchdown there, it definitely felt like Florida.
They had the momentum.
Yeah, I mean, Florida, even though being down 9, being down 2 scores, coming up with that defensive stand there, it felt like, yeah, the momentum was definitely in their favor, even though they were down 9 points. Because that just, you know, if it's a Georgia fan watching your offense from the 1 yard line not be able to punch in a touchdown, it just didn't feel good.
No, it was tough. And again, that's one of those things. Remember, too, there was a bad spot on, in my opinion, on James Cook's lone carry. But I thought he got across the line for a first down. And we were third and inch and ran wide to Mecole, and they tracked him down.
Yeah. Who had just, like, been in that 10 injury.
Yeah,
like, when he went down,
oh,
I thought,
that was
like,
a bad-looking injury.
Yeah, I thought, like, oh, he's done for the year. Then he comes right back in, but, you know, he went from he just got injured, so then we're doing the deal where we're like Vandy in 2016, we need a yard and we're going to run sideways.
We did it on the two-point play, too. I mean, I think that's one thing, too. Jordan, and again, the coaches self-scout, they're covering all this stuff. But, yeah, I would think in the short yardage situations, what you might see Georgia do now is just try and spread everything out a little bit more. Because, I mean, another thing, and listen, the Lions playing really good. We also we don't have the big mountain monster in there at right guard either, and that's made a difference.
No, which is another thing to consider about, because I get, even on that the goal line stand, Florida had Thomas was still out of that game at that point too, right?
Yeah.
So you're missing Cleveland and Thomas. Yeah.
And again, when Thomas came back in, boom, touchdown, boom, touchdown.
Yeah, and thank goodness he was able to come back in, because he had to, I guess, because Baker then all of a sudden was hurt.
I mean, that guy has had just an – God, what an unbelievable season he's had battling through those injuries.
Well, hopefully, you know, Cleveland's not too far off. He did make the trip this weekend.
It's a good sign.
And
I'm still guessing Tech.
Tech?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Kirby says he's going to get out there a little bit, see what he can do, but still a question mark for this weekend. Now, David Marshall – sounds pretty good that maybe he'll come back.
Well, yeah, definitely miss him. He's a
the
playmaker.
Last two games.
He is a playmaker up front, and we need some of those, Coach.
Which would help the, maybe help that run defense issue a little bit too.
But big Jordan Davis is helping.
Yeah, no, he's
big
playing
man.
Well as a freshman.
He is. He's
he gets
helping.
More and more snaps, more and more work as the year goes on, and that could help improve things.
No doubt.
Between this Saturday and certainly the last Saturday of the season, Georgia needs to plug up that run defense still.
Big time.
And get a little sharper tackling also.
Have to.
And Florida had some runs that shouldn't have gone for as long as they did, but we were just missing tackles. Got to get better there. All right, we're 2 months into the season now. The next games will be played in November, unless there's Maction tomorrow or something, which there probably
there's
is.
There's got to be
I think there is.
Halloween night game, right?
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure there is Maction. There's, in fact, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got Miami of Ohio at Buffalo, Kent at Bowling Green, and then on Halloween, Ball State and Toledo.
Awesome.
So I guess October college football is not done yet, but for the main conferences, it is. So 2 months into the season, Jeff, give me the biggest surprise of the year, the biggest dud of the year.
I think Kentucky's got to be the biggest surprise, right? I mean, they're sitting there at 7-1 in the top 10, 5-1 in the SEC, going to play Georgia in Lexington for the SEC championship Saturday afternoon.
I don't think there's even a contender behind them. But are they in the top 10? I don't know.
Finally.
Are they?
I've got them ranked 7th.
Okay. I mean, so Kentucky is in November is hosting a top 10 matchup for a trip to the SEC championship game. I mean,
nobody in the world saw that coming. As far as duds, I know there's some schools, and listen, we say this every year. Auburn and Washington were both in the top 10 preseason. They've both got 3 losses. I mean, stuff happens. That's not unusual. I mean, I look, Chris, I can give you a couple of takes on this. The city of Los Angeles, things not going good for USC or UCLA. But I think, too, and I know they struggled last year, had the coaching change. And Florida State is an absolute disaster. And I get it, it's his first year, but they get my vote for the biggest dud.
Well, they still have DeAndre Francois.
And Cam Akers.
Yeah.
That guy was a top 5 recruit nationally. He was a number 1 player in Mississippi. Georgia wanted him. Alabama wanted him. Goes to FSU.
Yeah, they shouldn't lose 59-10 at home to Clemson. And Clemson's
got a great team.
Right now it looks like Clemson at worst, they're the second best team in the country. But I mean, Florida State shouldn't lose that bad at home.
Wisconsin sitting there with 3 losses.
That's certainly a surprise. I mean, Washington to me is it, because they
were the overwhelming pick.
Yeah, and you could see the Pac-12 South playing out the way it has. And then, you know, I mean, Oregon, well, they were having a good year until – and it just got blown out by Arizona. It's just the whole Pac-12 is wacky.
Well, the other
Washington
part,
sitting there with 3 losses right now, is I think they've got to be the biggest disappointment.
And look who's sitting in first.
I know, Wazoo, with
Cross
one
State.
Close loss at USC.
It's nuts. So I'll go Florida State. You take Washington.
Yeah. Now Washington State's going to have to get over, though. Washington's blown them out the last couple of years in that Apple Cup. Peterson has had Leach's number. And those games, I think the last 2 years have been the winner would have gone to the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. By the way, Bobby Petrino has to be trying to get fired. Did you see, too, the running back for Wake Forest had 243 yards and three touchdowns? He was a one-time Louisville commit, and they pulled a scholarship offer. Mm. Like, that's one of those, like, yes, that's a good story.
Yeah.
All right, but real quick, at Florida State, let's see, 0-1, 1-1, 1-2, 2-2, 3-2, 4-3, 4-3. So Florida State's 4-4, I believe. They go at NC State, at Notre Dame, Boston College, and Florida. They're going to have that bowl streak, which they falsely propped up last year by scheduling that game with Lou Monroe. That's coming to an end this season.
You think they're going to go 0-4 down the stretch?
Well,
even if they're not going to win, they'd have to win two of them.
To go 6-6.
Yeah, they're not doing that. So
I don't see
it. The most they're going to win is one if they do win that.
Yeah, I would think so. So they get my vote.
And they played all their games, right? They didn't have one. Yeah,
correct.
How'd Nebraska do against Bethune-Cookman this weekend?
Nebraska won.
You know, I was watching the Tennessee-South Carolina game, and I don't know who was calling the game, but they were talking – I guess South Carolina is probably going to add a game December 1st.
Okay.
To make up for the Marshall game that they missed. And the guy was like, hey, you know, Nebraska needs a game too. And he was like, oh, no, wait a second. They scheduled Bethune-Cookman.
Right.
Like, that would have been –
a terrific game.
South Carolina and Nebraska each other.
And especially like if – hey, yeah, you know the winners go into a bowl or something like that. But – you know, if we do have a situation, like we say in the SEC, I mean, you've got between Columbia, Gainesville, Baton Rouge, and College Station, you got four campuses that are in prime hurricane mode. I mean, I'm talking, you know, within an hour and a half drive mm-hmm. to the coast. So I think that is a good idea, and maybe that's something the powers that be in college football could think about, that, you know, if there is a date or something, that day of the conference title games, when it becomes clear, and to your point there with South Carolina and Nebraska, obviously neither one of them are going to make their conference championship games. Yeah, maybe to start, you know, put together some matchups, it would be interesting.
Well, like NC State is doing it, but they already signed someone up. Because, like, NC State and South Carolina could play.
Sure they could.
You know, the thing is South Carolina – what do they have? Is that their
let me look at them.
Fifth win they got the other night?
1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3. They're 4-3.
But they might need that game to get bowl eligible then. Because, again, I don't think they're winning two of their next four. They might win one of them. But they're not winning at Clemson. They're not winning at Florida. Maybe they beat Ole Miss. But that's not a gimme. I thought – watching South Carolina and Tennessee, South Carolina won the game.
But to me,
Tennessee came out of that thing looking much better because, first of all, they got up 21-9, and South Carolina came back on them and ended up winning by a field goal. But you're just – if you're South Carolina, you're not going to get a better spot than that. You were off a bye at home, and your opponent was off Bama, and it took everything in the tank to beat them.
And they were at the end of a stretch, and granted, there was one open date thrown there where they went Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama. I mean, that was one I just saw before the year. I was like, golly, Tennessee's not going to have a chance in that game. And I'm with you. And the other thing, too, I think at South Carolina, and I was watching that game with some friends after we were done with the show Saturday night, and one of the guys played quarterback in college and said, you know, a couple of weeks ago they're booing Jake Bentley. He's getting drilled. He gets a concussion on the touchdown. He's like, you know, then they start clapping. He goes, I'd have come up flicking those fans off because, you know, I even heard Dave talking about it with some of his buddies from back in Spartanburg. Oh, yeah, they're already ready to move on to the new guy. Jake Bentley, I mean, saved their season 2 years ago. He's a big reason they went 9-4 last year. That kid's a good quarterback.
Yeah, and he had a good game for him Saturday, too.
But it's like those fans turned on him.
Well, that's what fans do. Mm. I mean, look what was going on here the last couple of weeks.
That's the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. I think this thing at South Carolina was a little more widespread than that.
Well, because the backup played the Missouri game,
yes,
and they won.
Yes.
And then Bentley came back, and they lost to A&M. And, yeah, I just – to me, Tennessee came out looking better in that game. And South Carolina won it, so for the short term, that's fine. But to have struggled that much, in that spot, you're just not going to get a better spot. Your opponent played Bama, and you didn't have a bye week, and you're at home. And, it took everything they had to survive that game.
And had Tennessee won that, I think they'd have gone bowling because I think they'll beat Charlotte. I like them against Vandy. If Kentucky beats Georgia, Tennessee could beat Kentucky in Knoxville because they will be – partying.
Yeah. And by the way, that will not send Georgia to the SEC game.
No, Kentucky the winter Saturday's us, in.
They in.
The winter Saturday is in.
All right, moving on in the 5-5 as we look ahead to this final month of the season. What is the biggest game still left on the schedule?
I think they're both in the SEC on Saturday. Georgia, Kentucky.
What about Ohio State, Michigan?
And Alabama, LSU. I mean, LSU's in play there. They got some mojo going.
But, you know, it's funny, like Nick Saban talking about how good a player Devin White is because he didn't have to face him for the first half.
Right.
Yeah, LSU better figure something out. Alabama's 8-0 against the spread in the first half. They've covered every first half this year. I mean, we know it's like you blink and they're up 28-0, and LSU's got to play without its best player for that first half. They got to figure out a way to survive, and then maybe – he comes out for the second half, and they got a shot there. But
no, he is – he's Roquan Smith good.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Not having him for the first half, that's a big swing, especially given how good Alabama is at the start of games.
Now, and then the other one out of the SEC, your spot on there, Chris, is, as usual, sir, with Michigan and Ohio State. But I look at the Big 12, you know, Texas, we can kind of smell that one coming.
Texas, they won't even make their championship game.
I don't
game.
Think so either. I think that's going to be West Virginia and Oklahoma.
I believe West by God and Texas play this weekend, right?
They do. And also West Virginia and Oklahoma play the day after Thanksgiving. So that could be a rematch the next week. And
yeah, Texas still has Texas Tech and Iowa State too.
And Clemson could, you know, they could get upset at Boston College or something, but there's just not a power versus power matchup there.
The two teams that can lose a game and they're still in are Bama and Clemson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, now all of a sudden it's like, who's got the best shot to beat Notre Dame? Could Northwestern do it Saturday? I think they could.
Well, I mean, sadly, they might be the team with the best shot to do it.
You would still.
But they're coming off of.
They got to just beat Wisconsin.
They just beat Wisconsin. Got a team that lost at home to Akron and Notre Dame's undefeated season.
If Kentucky went 11-1 and lost 23-20 to Alabama, would they get in or would an 11-1 Notre Dame get in?
You know the answer to that question. Come on, you know the answer to that. In fact, I would tell you, maybe a 10-2 Georgia would get in over Kentucky at that point.
I'm telling you, if you just did a blind taste test and looked at their resume, they would be ranked much higher.
No, don't sit around this week thinking it's Kentucky and you're not going to believe, you know, buy into them what their record is. They're good. They're legitimately good.
Now, you were on them early because of their defense. And, again, they had guys come back. That safety, Mike Edwards, I just remember the game last year. Boy, that guy's a really good player. That linebacker, Josh Allen, really good player. They got size up front. You know, Kentucky's always big, giant on the offensive line. And, again, they have – and they've had them before. They've had guys like Tim Couch, Jared Lorenzen, Randall Cobb. They've got a player like that now. He plays tailback, Benny Snell. But those teams never had the defense to complement that great player on offense.
No. That's the thing. It's Kentucky all of a sudden has a defense. I don't know where it came from, but they are
– all those guys came back. They're juniors and seniors.
They're real. They forced 8 straight 3-and-outs to Missouri this weekend.
That's unbelievable. They kept them in the game.
You know who plays left tackle for them now, too?
E.J. Price.
That big E.J. Price.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. That's the 5-5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.